听力课堂，听 class.com。
Hey, Archie?
Yes, Veronica?
You ready for our next word group?
I guess I am.
Well, I've got a way to really get you in the mood.
Sounds promising.
Costumes, one for me and one for you.
Ooh, sounds even more promising.
You can choose either bag.
Okay, I'll take that one. Oh, boy, look what I got, a crown. I think that will suit me pretty well. I bet our next group is church and state, and I guess I'm state.
Right you are, Sherlock.
So what's your costume? A collar and robe? A yarmulke? A prayer mat?
Nope, better than that. Look.
Sunglasses?
Yep.
You lost me, Veronica. Crown equals state. Why do sunglasses equal church?
I always wore sunglasses in church. That way my parents couldn't see that I was asleep.
This explains a great deal. I expect you were more the type to go in for omphaloskepsis.
Omphalo-what's-is?
Omphaloskepsis. Omphaloskepsis. It's a meditation practiced by Eastern mystics in order to achieve mystical fulfillment.
Omphaloskepsis, huh? What did they meditate on?
Well...
Hold on. Don't tell me yet. I'm going to excavate. The Greek word omphalos means central point.
Right. So if these mystics viewed their central point during meditation...
Say it isn't so.
Yep.
Their belly button?
Please call it a navel. It sounds more transcendent. While practicing omphaloskepsis, mystic Z. Pazizi reached such a state of tranquility and balance that he never heard the Domino's delivery man ringing the doorbell.
Archie, I'm a bit omphaloskeptical that this word has any practical application.
Hey, you never know. After having reached the omphalos, or central point, of the desert, Professor I. M. Waterless sat down and practiced omphaloskepsis to help him forget how thirsty he was.
I'm moving to the next word, Archie. Our next word is eschatology. Eschatology is a branch of theology which studies the last judgment, death, and the future of the soul.
Definitely a subject which preoccupies many of us. Eschatological tenets hold that there will be a last judgment or an end of humanity. When I'm reading eschatological texts, pondering the limits of human existence, I probably will remove my crown.
Eschatology is certainly one of the great levelers. Crowns and kingdoms aren't worth too much at the bitter end.
This might be a good place for me to emphasize that eschatology should not be confused with scatology. Eschatology is a study of the end. Scatology is a study of, how shall I put this, what comes out of the end.
Scatology is the study of feces. It can be another word for obscenity as well, or an obsession with the obscene. For example, scatological language should really be avoided in eschatological papers.
Although it is human nature to curse when you hit the end.
But last impressions really last.
That's profound. Speaking of last impressions, a biography, particularly post-mortem, can really do you in. Being a big Mommy Dearest fan and therefore feeling super sorry for Joan Crawford, who isn't around to defend herself, I've always wondered what might be written about me.
Well, if I write it, you can be sure that it will be a hagiography.
Oh, goody. A hagiography would suit me almost as well as this crown.
A hagiography, being a biography of saints or a biography that worships its subject, would be extremely complimentary.
It would turn a blind eye to little faults.
And big ones.
Well, I don't have any big faults. How could I? I'm the king.
Right, of course. When Father McCoglwin was reading a hagiography of his favorite saint, Saint Bleeds-a-Lot, he read seven stories in which the poor saint bleeds.
A lot, right?
Right. And after a lot of bleeding, even a saint needs a libation.
A libation is a liquid for religious rituals, or it can also be any intoxicating beverage.
Originally, a libation meant the ritual of pouring wine or oil on the ground as a sacrifice to a god. One would perform a libation during the course of a ceremony. Now the word refers equally to the liquid itself.
You'll hear it used in a more profane sense as well. While singing their famous arrangement of Can't Help Loving That Man of Mine, the college singing group known as the Snowflakes called for libations in the form of Bloody Marys. It's strange, when I drink heavily or indulge in libations, which is, of course, very rarely, I am prone to ponder ontological matters.
Ontology is the philosophical study of the nature of being. When you have a bit too much red wine, do you begin thinking about the theory of reality? what being is, the ultimate substance, those type of ontological matters?
Oh, no. I guess I meant I'm prone to ponder ophthalmological matters. I start thinking about how bad my eyes are. I hate not having perfect vision, and my vision's even worse when I drink.
You are a bozo. I want you to use ontological in a really first-rate sentence right now.
Okay. Geez, you're tough. I can't wait till we get out of church and into state. I'm feeling persecuted. Let's see. Metaphysics is a branch of philosophy concerned with the ultimate nature of existence. Metaphysics encompasses a range of areas of theory, including cosmology and theological philosophy. But ontology, or the study of the ultimate nature of being, is generally considered to be the principal area of inquiry.
Ooh, I am now officially retracting my statement that you are a bozo.
Heidegger, a prominent ontological philosopher of the early 20th century, was preoccupied with the problem of being and the relationship between human existence and temporality. He considered himself to be the first Western philosopher to explicitly raise the ontological question of the sense of being.
Double retraction. I've started contemplating my belly button, and I think we'd better move on.
Where to next, holy woman in sunglasses? I am your devoted votary.
That's excessive.
Why? You deserve it.
No. Of course I deserve to have you as my votary, but to be a devoted votary is excessive language. A votary is a committed worshiper or a zealously devoted follower. A votary is inherently devoted. You can even hear it in the word, votary, devoted. There is the same Latin root, votus, meaning vow.
It was a grim year for the votaries of the Grateful Dead. With Jerry Garcia dead, there was no band to follow throughout the country.
The Grateful Dead had an almost religious hold on their followers, so votary is a very suitable word. But votary can also describe an enthusiast. My grandmother is a votary of bridge. She would miss her own wedding to attend an important tournament. Bridge is everything to her.
But is everything bridge? My grandmother is the same way about bridge. Everything is bridge. When you eat at her house, she deals the silverware. Then you have to bid on the meals. My grandmother takes a little and then moves it to her left. My sister says, I'll have one piece of chicken and a potato. Then my father says, corn, two potatoes and a piece of chicken. If you can't outbid the person before you, you end up with nothing. Thanksgiving was hell. I went up to 3-0 Trump just to be sure I got something and ended up having to eat the whole bowl of candied yams myself.
Oh, it's like pantheism of bridge. Bridge is everything and everything is bridge, right?
You got it, I think. What's pantheism?
Pantheism is any system of belief that includes the teaching, God is all and all is God.
Which do pantheists believe is first, the universe or God?
That's a chicken or the egg question. Pantheists can believe either. Some pantheists start with the belief that there is one eternal reality, and that is God. For them, all of the world that we know is merely a part of God.
Gotcha. But if they start with the premise that there is an all-inclusive unity which is the foundation of the universe, then God is absorbed into that unity. That's probably why pantheism is often viewed as a worship of nature. For many pantheists, God is as present in a leaf as God is present in another human being or in the night sky.
Can you be a pantheist and still believe that there is a benevolent Newman that lives in your orange VW bug?
You're wondering if a pantheist can believe in Newmans, which are guardian spirits inhabiting natural objects.
Is there a conflict of interests in that scenario?
Not as long as you believe that any Newman is part of a greater unity.
Well, then I suppose I can't be a pantheist.
Because of the spirit or Newman that you believe inhabits your car?
Oh, I don't believe. I know. And I know he is all-powerful, so I can't be a pantheist. Listen to this. My orange VW bug was on its deathbed. It couldn't start, it stalled, it grunted and rattled. Then poof, just like that. The Newman moved in, my car transformed. It's perfect now. The spirit had a numinous effect on my bug.
A numinous effect? Numinous, meaning supernatural, divine.
Yes.
Numinous describes a magical, majestic presence that can be awe-inspiring. The pulsing yellow light that hovered majestically in the night sky had a numinous effect on the group of teenagers. They became silent and still.
The use of light is so powerful in the paintings of Vermeer that I feel it gives the faces a numinous quality.
I agree. The faces are more than just luminous or filled with light. They take on a numinous or divine characteristic.
Let's define our church words.
Omphaloskepsis.
A meditation on the navel practiced by Eastern mystics.
Eschatology.
The branch of theology dealing with death, resurrection, and the final judgment.
Hagiography.
A biography of saints or a biography worshiping its subject.
Libation.
A drink for religious rituals or any intoxicating beverage.
Ontology.
The philosophical study of the nature of being.
Votary.
A zealously devoted person, an enthusiast.
Pantheism.
A belief that God is all and all is God.
Numinous.
Having the characteristics of something divine or supernatural.
You did it. You did it. I really must admit it, for indeed it is true.
Yes, I did. And now we'll hear someone use all these church-related words and use them in a speech.
Bene, bene. 2,000 lire. Grazie mille. Obrigato. Hello. Yes, over here. Get your religious icons right over here. We got the best prices in all Vatican City. The Pope is always shop right here. Best prices. Come on, you come to Rome. You are a votary of the Catholic Church? Or maybe you are just very enthusiastic about the architecture. Whatever. You want a souvenir? Sure you do. Have I got something for you? I got the Pope's head carved out of a piece of wood from a Noah's Ark. Talk about going back in time. This carving has a numinous quality. I am sure you can tell it's no ordinary piece of junk. You put this in your appartamento and you will feel like the Pope is right there with you. You're going to want to genuflect no matter what. No? How about the hagiography? It's called These Are a Few of Our Favorite Saints, written by Mario Lanza and Mother Teresa. No? What's the matter, you? You in the middle of a home full of skepsis? Stop looking at your belly button. Look here. I got a nice thing for you. I see a fear in your eyes. You think a lot about what's going to happen to you at the end, don't you? Huh? You read the articles about eschatology, and you think to yourself, oh, at the last judgment, are they going to remember what I did to all of my sister's Barbie dolls, taking the head off? Huh? What do you need, my friend, is your own personal confessione booth with a special recording of the Pope saying, I forgive you, my child, in 12 languages. No? I see. You believe in pantheism. You think that there is the same amount of God in the postcards for 5 lire that there is in the biggest statue on the right? Forget about it. That's not true. You gotta what you pay for. You want a bigger piece of God? You gotta pay for it. Don't give me the ontological argumente that you cannot know things beyond the object of experiencia. That you can study being, but you cannot know it? Ah, feh. It's not true. Let me buy you a libation over at the Pious Pub and Saloon, and I will explain it to you. You can know a lot of things. Like I said, you can have a piece of God. If you got money and you got a good taste, you can have a piece of God in gold, in marble, in brass. If you're a real stingy guy, you can buy it in cubic zirconium.
Well, that wraps up all the words in our church section.
Take a look at all of the words on the insert, check their spellings, and look for any visual clues that might assist you in remembering word meanings. Now it's time for that greatly anticipated moment when Veronica and we begin.
We? Did you say Veronica and we?
The royal we. We are delighted to be in the state section.
We may be, but I am not. I can see I created a monster when I gave you that crown.
Quiet! Did you call your king a monster? Off with her head!
This is going to be a long section. Maybe if I just keep talking, I can prevent him from engaging in this preposterous, tyrannical behavior.
Oh, no, no, no. You cannot filibuster in a monarchy. There has to be a legislative body. I am the king. You can't stop me.
Technically, you're correct. A filibuster occurs when a member of Senate or any other legislative body obstructs the passage of legislation by speaking with the sole purpose of delay.
Such a filibuster, or speaker, will take the stand and waste time by speaking for hours. In order to prevent Senate's passing a bill designed to regulate tobacco sales to minors, Senator Wally Wallaker read 127 pages from the Atlanta phone book. A great deal of legislation never reaches a vote in the Senate, where a lone speaker is able to filibuster for hours, wearing down the opposition and causing time to run out. It seems like a very childish way to obstruct a bill.
But it can be very effective. Tell me, Mr. Monarch, what would you do if I told you that your Department of Pleasure and Games was infringing on the rights of your citizens?
Oh, dear. I'll have to designate an ombudsman in that case. An ombudsman is an impartial public official who is appointed to investigate citizens' complaints against national or local government agencies who may be infringing on the rights of individuals.
So you'll appoint an ombudsman, and he or she will decide whether the Department of Pleasure and Games is at fault?
Yes. I'm sure the complaint is valid. There are just too many departments. I can't keep track of them all. It's hard to be the king. I get wrapped up in the fancy balls and dinners, and then some of these agencies just run wild.
That's exactly why the position of ombudsman is extremely important. Individuals frequently feel powerless against large governmental agencies. An ombudsman forces appointed officials to remember that their duty is to serve the people.
The Office of Ombudsman originated in 1809 in Sweden and was later adopted by many countries, U.S. states, and localities.
But a business can appoint an ombudsman to investigate a complaint. When the president of Secure Home heard persistent complaints that surveillance monitors were being secretly installed in private homes by the staff, she hired an ombudsman to investigate the claims.
The ombudsman, upon finding that the claims were true, homologated the claims of the citizens.
Right. Homologated means to officially confirm. After rumors had been spinning about the country for weeks, the press secretary homologated these rumors and officially confirmed the president's participation in the controversial meeting. The Faculty Disciplinary Committee homologated Professor Archibald Tennyson's claims that Professor Blanche Dubosky had plagiarized large sections of his article, Post-Reconstruction, Behind the Hoop Skirt. Doesn't it seem strange that despite the fact that over 50% of the American population is female, it is considered politically impossible to elect a female president at this time?
Perhaps with some massive gerrymandering, we could organize all female voting districts.
I don't think that's the problem. Women still aren't willing to vote for a female president. It's not an issue of districting. Gerrymandering is the act of reorganizing lines and boundaries of voting districts in order to favor the party in power or to manipulate voting areas unfairly.
Some would argue that purposefully creating a district in such a way is unfair.
A response might be that discrimination against minorities is unfair, and gerrymandering in order to correct it is not only fair but necessary.
Exactly. In any case, gerrymandered districts frequently have very peculiar shapes when viewed on a map. The term originated when former Vice President Jerry Elbridge of Massachusetts was elected governor for a second time in 1811. His second term was marked by the grotesque rearrangement of election districts that favored Democrats over Federalists in order to keep Jerry in power.
Someone pointed to a district and said, "It looks like a salamander." The reply was, "Salamander? Call it a gerrymander." The term stuck, and so did the practice of gerrymandering. So far, we've had some words with odd roots. Gerrymander, ombudsman, filibuster.
How about our next word, throttlebottom?
Throttlebottom is what we call a useless vice president. It is capitalized because it comes from a name, or more precisely, the name of a character in a musical satire, Of Thee I Sing. In it, Vice President Throttlebottom needed a guided tour to view the White House.
Vice President Dan Quayle earned the reputation as being a throttlebottom after his unfortunate encounter with the word potato. Whether the appellation was deserved or undeserved was of no concern to the millions of Americans who found the episode wonderful fodder for criticism. When we are electing our nation's leaders, it's wise to remember that in the absence of the president, the vice president is in charge. A throttlebottom can be a dangerous figure in this scenario.
Interregnums, or periods between the end of one sovereign's reign and the beginning of another's, can be volatile if not dangerous times. If citizens, or the outside world, perceive a country to be without a true leader, it makes the country extremely vulnerable.
Inter, meaning between. Think intermediary, international, interview.
Regnum, meaning reign, like regal, regime, or regnant. Regnant describes one who is currently reigning or ruling. In England, the regnant queen is Queen Elizabeth.
Interregnum is thus between the reign of one monarch and another. It's also any period when government stops temporarily. In this country, we can suffer through an interregnum if the budget isn't passed. When this occurs, our government literally shuts down. After any interregnum, it's important for a country or an institution to step forward with a clear and strong démarche to instill confidence once again.
A démarche is a course of action or a maneuver in diplomatic relations. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, the United States was forced to respond to Russian missile deployment with a bold démarche.
Kennedy's démarche was to prevent Russian access to Cuban waters, and the tension of the period surrounding this decision epitomized Soviet-American relations throughout the Cold War.
Démarche derives from the French word démarcher, which means to trample underfoot. Therefore, the word démarche is frequently attached to firm courses of action, as, for example, military maneuvers. But it can also refer to a statement made to a public official by a group of citizens.
In recent years, many gay couples and gay rights activists have made high-profile démarches demanding the legal right to same-sex marriages. Their pressure on public officials has received a great deal of media attention, generated controversy, and placed these important issues in the public arena.
Our last word is habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is a writ or order requiring that a detained person be brought before court at a specific time and place in order to determine the legality of the detention or imprisonment.
The result of habeas corpus is that citizens are more easily safeguarded against illegal imprisonment. Legal terms are frequently Latin. It was traditionally a scholarly language, and law terms often date back a great many years. Habeas corpus translates, "You have the body."
The state or institution imprisoning an individual is therefore required to show the body to a court. When prisoner John Doe's first few appeals were rejected by the court, he applied to a federal judge for a writ of habeas corpus. This application was used because Mr. Doe felt his constitutional rights had been violated by state procedure.
This is the most common use for the writ of habeas corpus. In recent years, the Supreme Court has attempted to reduce its use by prisoners, particularly those on death row. The power of this writ is protected in the Constitution, and it is commonly considered to be one of the great protectors of liberty.
If a human being is unlucky enough to be imprisoned in a country where there is no protection by the writ of habeas corpus, it is possible for him to spend years in jail without ever appearing before a court.
Well, Veronica, carpe diem. Let's seize the day and review all these words, whether Latin or not.
Because you're sporting the crown, it's only fitting that you define these state words for me.
It shall be so.
Filibuster.
Obstructing the passage of legislation by speaking for the sole purpose of delay.
Ombudsman.
A public official designated to investigate citizens' claims against governmental agencies.
Homologate.
To confirm officially.
Gerrymander.
To set up lines for political districts in order to gain an advantage for a political party.
Throttle bottom.
A useless vice president.
Interregnum.
A period between one sovereign's reign and the next, or any time when government is shut down.
Démarche.
A course of action or diplomatic initiative.
Habeas corpus.
A writ demanding that an imprisoned individual be brought forth in person at a specific time, date, and place.
Nicely done. I'll take your crown now and put it away for good.
What's a king without his crown?
You'll soon find out. But remember, Archie, power is intangible. You either have it or you don't. The crown is merely a symbol. It has no value in itself. You have to find the power within yourself. The crown can't give you that.
But it can cover up my receding hairline.
Let's listen to a speaker use all these state words in a speech. Then after that, we'll review once again.
Hello. My name is Myra Wright. I'm a proud member of the National Organization to Navigate, Educate, and Restore Morals Everywhere. We're better known by our acronym, Not Near Me. And that is basically how we feel. We're tired of a world full of swearing and drinking and loose living and lifestyles that are simply disgusting in every way. We have thousands of members, and we have recently presented the President of the United States with a démarche demanding that communities be given the right to expel citizens who are destroying the moral fiber of the area. The senator from my home state supports this type of legislation. He is currently preparing a very long speech about the Bible. He plans to filibuster if the Senate tries to pull any shenanigans loosening up immigration laws. I don't have anything against people that don't speak our language as long as they stay in their place. I hear that there is gerrymandering in order to get more representatives for these people into my government. Our organization is demanding that an ombudsman be appointed to examine the goings-on over at voter registration. Something is definitely wrong, because there are too many people with funny last names voting in this district. I don't think they really exist. I marched up to the desk during the last national elections and said, "Habeas corpus. Show me where these people are. We don't have people voting around here that have names that don't sound English. My organization, Not Near Me, would have more power if we weren't suffering through a tricky interregnum. Our last president is currently incarcerated. Unfairly. He is a bus driver, and he refused to pick up some children that he said looked like troublemakers to him. I'm glad to have my daughter on his bus. Now we're left with a vice president who is a real throttle bottom. She doesn't understand the issues. She believes our organization should be more moderate, and she says she hopes our new president will homologate her views. Furthermore, she keeps talking about everyone joining under a giant tent. What does that mean? The only tents I visit are at weddings, and you don't bump into people there who aren't on the guest list."
We've now completed the words in the category church and state. Let's go back through them for the purpose of review. We'll give you one of the words. We'll then take a brief pause, so use that time to see if you can come up with an accurate definition for the word. This definition will be followed by an excerpt from the speech in which the word was used. Veronica, why don't you start us off?
No problem, Archie. Our first word will be libation.
A drink for religious rituals or any intoxicating beverage. Let me buy you a libation over at the Pious Pub and Saloon, and I'll explain it to you. Numinous.
Having the characteristics of something divine or supernatural. I got the Pope's head carved out of a piece of wood from Noah's Ark. This carving has a numinous quality. I am sure you can tell it is no ordinary piece of junk off of the street. Filibuster.
Obstructing the passage of legislation by speaking for the sole purpose of delay. He is currently preparing a very long speech about the Bible. He plans to filibuster if the Senate tries to pull any shenanigans loosening up immigration laws. Omphaloskepsis.
A meditation on the navel practiced by Eastern mystics. You in the middle of omphaloskepsis? Stop looking at your belly button. Look here. Homologate.
To confirm officially. She believes our organization should be more moderate, and she says she hopes our new president will homologate her views. Hagiography.
A biography of saints, or a biography worshiping its subject. How about a hagiography? It's called "These Are a Few of Our Favorite Saints," written by Mario Lanza and Mother Teresa. Ombudsman.
A public official designated to investigate citizens' claims against governmental agencies. Our organization is demanding that an ombudsman be appointed to examine the goings-on at voter registration. I don't think they really exist. Interregnum.
A period between one sovereign's reign and the next, or any time when government is shut down. My organization, Not Near Me, would have more power if we weren't suffering through a tricky interregnum. Our last president is currently incarcerated. Eschatology.
The branch of theology dealing with death, resurrection, and the final judgment. You think a lot about what's going to happen to you at the end, don't you? You read the articles about eschatology and you think to yourself, at last judgment, are they going to remember what I did to all of my sister's Barbie dolls? Gerrymander.
To set up lines for political districts in order to gain an advantage for a political party. I hear that there is gerrymandering in order to get more representatives for these people in my government. Votary.
A zealously devoted person, an enthusiast. You're a votary of the Catholic Church, or maybe you're just very enthusiastic about the architecture. Throttlebottom.
A useless vice president. Now we're left with a vice president who is a real throttle bottom. She doesn't understand the issues. Ontology.
The philosophical study of the nature of being. Don't give me the ontological argument that you can't know things beyond experience. It's not true. Demarche.
A course of action or diplomatic initiative. We have thousands of members, and we have recently presented the President of the United States with a démarche demanding that communities be given the right to expel citizens who are destroying the moral fiber of the area. Habeas corpus.
A writ demanding that an imprisoned individual be brought forth in person at a specific time, date, and place. I marched up to the desk during the last national election and I said, "Habeas corpus, show me where these people are." Pantheism.
A belief that God is all and all is God. You believe in the pantheism? You think that there is the same amount of God in the postcards for 250 lira that there is in the big statue on the right?
Well, I guess we're all done. No more church, no more state. What do we have left? We're stranded. No institution to control our lives. What will prevent us from descending into utter chaos?
Maybe the next word group. I certainly hope it's free from any political or theological ideology. I'm tired.
Me too. Maybe we should take a moment to rejuvenate during a quick session of Omphaloskepsis, and our friendly listeners can review the insert.
Sounds fair. I'll look at my belly button while they look at spelling and come up with mnemonic devices for words they find tricky.
Can I look at your belly button instead of mine? Yours is cuter.